Hey, did you hear that there were viral reports on social media this past week that the rapture, the tribulation, was going to occur this past week? Did you hear this? Did you hear it? Yeah. They had it narrowed down to September 23rd or 24th was going to be the rapture. Did you hear this, Charlie? No, I didn't hear it. Now, I, of course, am not on social media. Big surprise, right? Nope. But I got wind of this. I heard about this. And I thought, well, I guess if it's on social media, it's got to be true. What do I know? Right? Must be true, right? So I figured there was a good chance that there wouldn't be hardly anybody here today. You know? Well, other than Barry, of course. I mean, I figured he'd be here. Maybe Tim, but Tim's not here anyway. Since you're all still here, I guess it didn't happen, right? Everybody's still here. I looked forward to saying that, by the way. You're all still here. That's good. So they didn't get that right. What a shock. What a shock. I guess they forgot the line in the Bible about how no one knows the date and time it's going to happen. Everybody seems to be able to predict it. No one knows the day and time it's going to happen. So we'll have to keep on doing what we're doing. We're going to keep on trying to get ready, right? Trying to stay ready, what the Bible says, stay ready, and trying to keep on getting better, being better people. That's what we're going to keep doing. That's why we're here. And do we have a model for that? How to get better? Who to be better like? Yeah, there's a big picture of him over my right shoulder last time I looked. Jesus. We want to work on being more like him. Right? Sure. Be more Christ-like. That's why we're here. That's what we want to do. And there are plenty of great examples in the Bible, descriptions of what that means. Take a look at the very first line of our responsive reading today, printed right there in your bulletin. Take a look at that. Psalm 103, verse 8. This is a psalm of King David. Quote, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Do we believe that? Hope so. I hope so. I think so. Does that seem like a really good description of Jesus? Compassionate and gracious? Full of grace? Yeah? Definitely, right? Sure it does. And think of it. Those words of King David, that's Old Testament stuff. He was still living under the old covenant, 1,000 years before the arrival of Jesus. But David wasn't just a great king. No, he was also a great prophet. And he was a man after God's own heart. And so he knew God's true heart. And he knew that there would one day come a new covenant. In verse 12, he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Think of that. That is the new covenant, isn't it? 1,000 years before it really came. 1,000 years before the arrival of the Messiah in the man of Jesus Christ. David described the new covenant, and he was right. In our second reading today, we heard it from Daughter Grace. It's from Hebrews chapter 8. Now, we say Priscilla wrote this, and she, of course, was a very dear friend of our own St. Paul. She wrote down these great, important words. It says this. This is the new covenant, declares the Lord. I will write my laws on their hearts. All will know me. All. Not some. From the least to the greatest. All. I will forgive them. And, he says, don't miss this. I will remember their sins no more. I will forgive. I will forgive. I will remember their sins no more. Right? Will. Not might. Not maybe. I will. That's what we call what? A promise. And what God calls a covenant. And in verse 13, Priscilla points out, we call it a new covenant. Because with this promise, the laws are now written on our hearts. And the old covenant, where the, you know, remember 613 laws of Moses are literally etched in stone. That old covenant, that old plan, quote, has been made obsolete. Okay, but how? How was it made obsolete? How did it actually officially happen? Well, in the Old Testament, with the Old Covenant, our relationship with God and with each other was viewed through the lens of that law. That very complicated and very strict law. But then Jesus comes along, and he's got a new plan with the New Testament and the New Covenant. And Jesus says, no, your relationship with God and with each other must be viewed through the lens of love. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says this, a new command I give you, new. Love one another. That was it. Period. A new command I give you. Love one another. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said this. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we have what we heard in our gospel reading today, what many of you probably know as the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gave us a simple way to think about how to put love for others into action. And as usual, it's simple, but it's not always easy. We know that. He says this, in everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you. Short and sweet, right? Easy to do? No. We call that the golden rule. And then think of this. Jesus makes a very bold claim there. A claim that certain people then and even now didn't want to accept. He claimed in verse 12 that simple rule, quote, sums up the Old Testament law and all the prophets, end quote. In other words, just like Priscilla said, looking at those things through the lens of love is the new covenant, and it makes the old plan obsolete. Now, last Sunday, where's Linda? Not here today? Last Sunday, I think it was Linda, asked that we pray for a safe and peaceful memorial service out in Arizona. You know what I'm talking about. There was a big day. Hundreds of thousands of people showed up. to attend the Charlie Kirk celebration of life. That's what it was, a celebration of life. There was fireworks, all music, all kinds of stuff. And as far as I know, it was. It was peaceful and it was safe. Thank God. I mean, apparently there were like hundreds, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of people that were there, and 100 million or so people watched it online and so forth. And from what I saw, and I didn't see the whole thing. I was running around babysitting stuff. I saw maybe half of it, maybe a third of it. I'm not sure. From what I saw, it was like a church revival. It was kind of cool. Great music, same kind of music we perform here in church. A lot of the same artists. Very inspirational speakers. Now, some of the speakers I didn't think were so great. I'll be honest with you. Sort of missed the mark. A little whatever. I don't know. Didn't read the room quite right, in my opinion. But most did. Most did. And that arena was filled with love more than any other emotion that I could see, that I could tell. It was pretty cool. But by far, the best moment of the day and the very best example of Christ-like love, and the reason I'm even talking about it right now, the person who was the most compassionate and gracious, which is our title of our sermon, the person who was the most compassionate and gracious was the grieving widow. In speaking of the person who had killed her husband, Erica Kirk said this: "That young man, I forgive him." She forgave him. Now, was that human nature to do that? No, no way, right? Would we have done that? It's tough. That's tough. Was that human nature? No, not really. That's the nature of a compassionate and gracious God. And who did Erica Kirk credit for giving her the strength to forgive? Jesus Christ. The man who died on the cross for our sins and who forgave those who spit on him, mocked him, flogged him, hammered nails through his hands and feet, and drove a spear in his side. He forgave them. Okay, so here then is the question for us. If she, and he, but if she can be compassionate and gracious in the face of her loss, can we? Can we be that? If she can forgive, can we? When God looks down on all of us like he did to the prophet Isaiah and says, "Who can I send? Who among you will go for me and show my love and grace into this broken world? Who can I send from your lovely little church? Who can I send from Bowmanville, Pennsylvania?" What will we say? I mean, we may have some fear. We may have anxiety. Our human nature and pride will get in the way. Yeah, mine will. But our goal is to think of Jesus and the good examples of his Christ-like love in this world, like that grieving widow. Our goal is to have the courage to say yes, even if in the face of fear and anxiety. Our goal is to have the courage to say yes. "Here I am, Lord. I can do it, and I will do it. Send me." Amen.